Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 35 of the 5-Minute Major Podcast of St. Louis, presented by Across the Board. We're coming at you with Stanley Cup playoff updates, baby. We're going to try and do 2 episodes a week if work and other life things help or isn't in the way. So we're starting off strong. But games 1 and 2 for most of the series are over. I mean, Dallas and Colorado are actually going to play game 3 when this is out, which is wild. We might give like a preview for you, but we'll see. It's been amazing so far. I mean, Blues are down 2-0, but everything else outside of it, like crazy series, crazy goals already, people coming back from injury, superstars like Kaprizov. Kachucks are barreling around, you know, heavy hitting superstars. Ovi's scoring every game. It's great. And there's plenty of bad blood, too. Like, things are boiling over early already. Brent Burns headbutted somebody.
Heck yeah. I loved it. I loved it.
Stolarz was going Ed Belfour on Grige or
yeah,
Greg.
Which- I'm gonna.
We'll go deep into that one a little bit.
It's gonna make me mad because I saw a post today that was like, if it was Bennington, he would have had a penalty.
Yeah, I'm kind of over those tweets, man.
Like, yeah,
I'm a little over it because then it just brings in all the bad comments, like you know, people being stupid. Anyways, but I do agree.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into it a little bit. We want you guys to get the coverage you deserve from us, and we are happy to provide it. And there's nothing better than playoff hockey, baby. So
true.
Let's start in the East with the Battle of Ontario. It's been great so far. Close games. Unfortunately, Ottawa couldn't pull out one of these games, so Toronto's up 2-0. Let's start with the first game here. Toronto, I have so many good things to say about them, which is pretty awesome. Craig Berube is a wizard, I think, when it comes to playoff hockey. He just knows when to throw guys out there, when to sit them. He brings so much confidence in the team in a different type of way, and I think that's so underappreciated. The core four was unreal this game.
I was going to say, the core four, honestly, we're seeing some of their best hockey, and they're doing it in a time frame where you need it from them. And I think the mad respect to Austin Matthews, who truly is a two-way dominating forward. And the guy that we've always talked about the last couple of playoffs is Mitch Marner not showing up, and Mitch Marner is contributing. He looks good. He looks fast. He's making the skilled plays when needed, and I think that's huge for us. Not us, I mean Toronto. Good Lord.
Buddy went all Maple Leafs fan on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look really good, bro. They had 9 points in this game, pretty much involved in every goal scored for them. And then Stolarz. I always knew he was good. He was stuck behind Bob in Florida, right?
Yeah.
He gets his opportunity this year. He's top 5 in goalie stats alongside his partner, Wohl, who was great this year, too. He's feisty. He makes huge saves like he did in game 2 that we'll talk about, like really saving Toronto from collapsing some points in the game where like they kind of get complacent.
Yeah.
And that happens with Toronto sometimes where they're not like full 60, they might be like a 54-55 minute team, you know. The real killer was Kachuk didn't have any points, which stinks in his first game. They also took 6 penalties, Ottawa did. Bad. Similar to the Blues, you know, emotional rookie mistakes in your first playoff game type of thing, and Toronto was 50%. So, I mean, that's the difference in this game.
Power plays, man.
Yeah.
JT had a great game. Matthew Knives is picking right up where he left off for the regular season.
Yeah, he's kind of my X factor for them.
Yeah.
Just, he's built like the Chucks, you know, he's just a playoff style hockey player. And
I still think you try to offer sheet him in the offseason, but that's for my end of year roundup.
I think there's going to be a lot of offer sheets maybe in this offseason. Maybe like 4 or 5.
Yeah. And I think the Blues could be involved in 1 or 2.
That would be fun again.
AKA Noah Dobson.
Yeah, I'm in. Now that Lou's out.
Lou's out.
Oh, by the way, Lou Lamoriello is out in New York.
And
just before we go to game two of this series,
Chris Drury extended in New York. Okay. Seattle fired.
Yeah, Bilsma's gone. Laviolette's gone in for the Rangers. What else? Ron Francis is now like the president, and then they brought in some guy who has like a really bad track record.
Yeah.
So I don't know about Seattle. What else happened? I don't know. I think
that was it. That was all for the. That was your NHL updates.
Yeah, a little bit more on the tangent here. Forgot what I was going to say. Dang it. If it comes to me, I'll bring it up again. Anyways, before we go to game two, I want to shout out David Perron with an assist on the Ottawa goal in game one. Okay, so Toronto's up 1-0. They're going into game two in Toronto. This was a way better game. Way closer. Like, Ottawa almost won the game in regulation. They probably should have, honestly, but Stolarz was standing on his head. They almost pulled a Blues. Ottawa did. They had like no shots on net.
Yeah.
And they still had
the recipe for success, though.
It's not. But they held on enough to make it to overtime, which is crazy. If you want to run through some of the stats that I have listed or whatever you got, then.
Yeah, no, for this game, I think the biggest credit goes to Berube and his stability he brings to this team. Berube teams can have their backs against the wall very much like I feel like Jim Montgomery's teams, and they just stay level-headed the whole time. And I think the D-core really stepped up in this game, in my opinion. I think OEL.
Underrated.
Like, my gosh. Like, props. And then Morgan Riley's just doing what Morgan Riley does.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing that I didn't see, like, the guy, we talked about this when they won this game the other night, like, he doesn't get the appreciation he probably deserves, is Domi.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we texted about that.
And, like, talk about a guy that was drafted very high and went into a very terrible situation going into Arizona as a draftee. And then he's kind of bounced around and struggled to find a home, and then I think this is just the perfect fit. I was talking about, I love him here. He's that third line guy right now that could be playing with Bolduc and Sonny, and you would be set.
I'd even throw him on the second
line. You could put him in the second
line. Let Shen move down to play with those kids, you know?
Yeah.
Let Shen play with the kids, and then Domi's just centering Kyrou and Holloway? Sure.
You'd have the flexibility that you needed right now.
100%.
It's just like, those are the players right now that you can tell we're still in a retool coming out of it, that we just don't have the depth guys.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Yeah, and the injury to Holloway doesn't help, you know?
No, oh gosh, don't get me started on that. But
we'll get into that a little bit more. I just want to say Brady looked great. First career playoff goal. How about former Blue Gaudette with a nice tip-in goal? Loved it to tie the game, too. And then this Stolarz play, bro, with the Ed Belfour chops to the back of the legs. I don't know how it's dual minors. I genuinely have zero idea how the referee said, yeah, we're going to take the Ottawa player to the box too. For what? Screening the goalie? Skating? Yeah. Ottawa, 2-minute minor for skating. Yeah. Insane. He got chopped like five or six times and then got tripped in the net and then got like cross-checked by Stolarz. It was insane.
Yeah. Insane. No, and like we were saying, and this is the never-ending tweets you get right now, especially St. Louis, if that was Binnington, he would have been penalized. And the
maybe
other guy
suspended.
Would. Yeah, honestly.
Maybe even a game suspension for that. Like,
yeah.
Fine. Just it insane. Just,
yeah, and I think that's the frustrating part. Like, the calls in the playoffs, in my opinion, have been a little weak throughout the playoffs in ways. Especially in
brutal.
The Blues series. It's like, Are we not playing playoff hockey? Let's put the whistles away a little bit. Let them play. That's the whole point of playoffs.
Yep.
But it's such a... Which, for the Blues, when we get there, I think that'll benefit us if they keep doing that in the first round. But I think they're going to start reeling it in. But it'll be a very big thing to kind of follow, is that the officiating has been such a penalty heavy calls.
Yeah, and it's not like, okay, this guy got boarded, or like, okay, he got hooked real bad or slashed, like you have to call it. It's like the first penalty of the Winnipeg Blue series, I'm pretty sure, was just super soft. It was like a bogus call. I'm sitting there like, what is that?
There's been multiple calls when we get to that where it's like the neighbor's slash where he just basically whacked him in the back of the pants.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, honestly, yes, Bolduc, it was a stupid play, but like a cross check.
I don't think it's even a penalty, to be honest.
No.
If anything, he gets penalized by Alafalo in the corner, and then he just retaliates because he's probably chirping him.
Yeah.
And he just goes, okay, I'll just cross check you in the ribs. And if you fall down like a little baby, then whatever. But unfortunately, the way the game was being called, you just can't do that. Right. Yeah. So it goes both ways. But I do agree that the refereeing has been bad.
Horrendous.
I mean, they like by the third period, it's fine. But the first period, we've seen some rough calls.
Yeah.
All right, sticking to the East, let's go to the Capitals and the Canadiens. They're actually playing right now as we record, and Washington is up 2-1 in the second period. They actually almost made it 3-1 on a shorty. Anyways, game one, Washington pulls it out in overtime. Great game. Montreal in the last, minutes scored two from their big gun Suzuki and Caulfield to send it to OT.
Yeah.
Like, they look great. They're buzzing
both assisted by Hudson, too. Lane is just picking up the regular season and moving into the playoffs, just getting more points.
Yeah. First or secondary assist, it doesn't matter. It still counts on the points on the board. And a little sidetrack, he should get the Calder Trophy. He's been unbelievable. His team in the playoffs, it's like he's the only rookie besides Bolduc, I guess you can count, that's like in the playoffs. And playing meaningful hockey and contributing.
Yeah.
So Suzuki and Caulfield look great. Montembeau actually played great too. Like,
honestly,
sneaky good game from him.
It was a very good game all around. That was the epitome of playoff hockey, I have to say.
Yes. Yeah, both sides.
Like, shout out to Strom. This guy was let go by the Blackhawks because they didn't think he was going to do anything. He's got almost 30 goals going into the playoffs, and he's picking right up. He's got 3 assists in the first game.
Yeah. And I don't even – he might have assisted on both these goals in the second game that we're watching right now. Who knows? He had 82 points in however many games he played. I think he played 82 games this year, and he had 82 points. What a season. So underrated. Like, he's a top line center. He's kind of like a Robert Thomas. I think we mentioned that before. I'm getting deja vu. He's like a Robert Thomas, kind of underpaid, underappreciated, super solid player. Point per
game.
Might
not have an assist in this game, but he does have a goal.
And there you go. Four points in two games, and we're only halfway through. They're flashing the graphic up actually right now. He's got 82 points this year. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess if the game ends by the time we finish this podcast,
we'll give you a little update on the end.
Yeah, Washington technically is up 1-0 right now. I think this could go the distance. A little 7-game series would be a lot of fun, especially for Montreal. All right, I know this is your team, so start her off.
So, Carolina Hurricanes, love them. They are up 2-0 in the series. They won the first game. I think, in my opinion, this will be the one of maybe two, probably, four and out series in the first round. Dominating play, which, yes, they're dominating, but they're playing a very injured Devils team. So no Hughes, no Dylan. I mean, can they keep this going in the playoffs? I think so. I think we're seeing they made the right moves. And they added some very beneficial pieces in this game. But shout out to Carolina. Just they're ready to go when they get to the playoffs every year. They're playing with speed. They're playing with power. And it's fun hockey to watch. I mean, and they've done their wins are pretty handedly. But Markstrom, man, I mean, he still stood on his head in that first game. I think he had 41 saves in that first game. But I do wonder if you need a change. You look to Jake Allen.
Yeah. I mean, I like Jake Allen's experience. I think Markstrom's actually been like the second or third best goalie in the playoffs through two games. So I don't know if you can just set him for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would love to see Jakey get in there for game four and try and save their season if they lose game three. Yeah, the Devils, man. If you remember, if you've been listening, episode one, I said Stanley Cup final for the Devils. And I mean, honestly, if they weren't so injury prone, I could see it still. Markstrom's playing crazy. If you had Dougie and Hughes and the other Hughes and all that, and you know, it could be better, but it's just bad right now. And the Hurricanes are one of the most well-oiled machines in the league for the last like 5 years, man. They're just always in it. They got the experience. Freddie Anderson's healthy, and he's been the best goalie in the playoffs so far. Their defense is just locked down. Like, Slave, and they were finally giving him praise on like ESPN the other day of how amazing he is.
Well, and my thing is, you're seeing a depth of scoring on this team. So, yeah, I mean, you had four different guys or three guys score goals that didn't have goals in the first game, four of them in the second one. So, Goss Despair, Martin Nook, and Seth Jarvis. Just let Seth Jarvis get cooking, and good Lord, they're going to be on a tear.
Yeah, we haven't even heard Aho's name.
No.
Is Aho going to get Aho, going? Like, Aho if he gets going.
In that second game, like, the amount of depth that they have is just insane. Also, I think they have one of the best defensive groups in the playoff, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's them and Vegas.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's just, can they get the goalie support long-term in the playoffs is going to be
right.
The...
You got to hope Freddie doesn't get hurt. I mean, what's his dang name? Kachankov?
Yeah.
Something like that. He's pretty solid, but I just think Anderson's the better playoff goalie.
If Anderson can stay healthy, that is always the key every year.
Yep.
For Carolina. Yep. I claim them as my second team. So yeah.
The first game combined 93 hits between the two teams. That's awesome. Second game, just it was just better versus worse and injured versus not injured. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have too much good experience in Carolina, I feel like, to not make a run. Their only pathway, like, block is either Montreal or Washington, and I think they can smoke both those teams.
Yeah.
Like, they could beat Washington in 5 or 6.
Oh, hands down they could.
Yeah, and then they have to break the curse of not getting swept in the conference finals against probably a really good hockey team.
Yeah, so, I think it'll be a Florida.
Yeah, that's a good segue into them. They came out and just belt to booty against Tampa Bay. They smoked them. Every facet of the game.
Yeah.
Nothing bad to say. Kachuk, first game since Four Nations, 2 goals. Dirty ones, too.
That's how you win in the playoffs. You got to go to the dirty areas.
Yeah, he's always in the perfect spot because he was taught well. He's always in the dirty areas, and that's how you score.
Yeah.
I want to give a little praise to Brad Marchand, dude. He looks really good and dynamic out there. It just stinks that his line mates aren't, like, a little bit better. He's just kind of like that depth piece to pretty much forecheck and keep possession, but it would be nice if he could contribute on the scoreboard as well. But he looks great. He's flying. He's probably happy as heck. He's in Palm Tree City, you know?
Yeah,
like,
Palm Tree City. He doesn't have to eat up big minutes. So he's fresh. Yeah. He goes from having to play the whole game to being a depth forward. Good Lord. Like, come on. If, like, you have to say Florida right now is the favorite, because I feel like they match up better than anyone.
I agree.
Any team.
It's
that
so
window is
annoying.
Wide open. And the other thing is, the window's not closing either.
No, it's not. Their team's young.
Yeah.
Like, I feel and like they, most of them are pretty young.
It goes back to the era of when the Penguins were so good. Where they had their core, and then every offseason, 2 to 3 players, they would rotate out. And they would get guys that would come in and just be like, all right, cool. I'll be a superstar right now for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't. I love Tampa Bay. I picked them to win in seven. They're so good. Gensel looked good, and Hedman was all right. Just Vasilevsky, 5 on 15 shots, not good.
The brick wall, I think, is struggling right now.
Just a bad start, but he's had those games before. He found his game this year again. We'll see in game two. You gotta stop Matt Tkachuk. Like, he's everywhere right now.
But you stop him, then you got Barkov. Okay, you stop him, then you got Bennett. You stop him, then you got Marchand. Like, okay, keep trying to stop guys. They got depth on depth, so.
Incredible stuff from Florida. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5 Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor and partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them. So please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board. All right. Let's go into the West.
Very interesting, kind of.
It's been fun. It's been fun.
After the first games, though, I was concerned that I was like, man, it's like they're not even competitive games. That, as a whole, the first games in the West, I felt like were very lopsided.
Yeah, I think the Blues game was close for a little bit and then just dropped off because of the third period. But yeah, game one, we'll start with Vegas and Minnesota with their two games. Game one, Vegas wins it. Wild had 54 hits in this game. Crazy. They took too many penalties, though. Well, actually, they only took two, but they couldn't stop them. Vegas scored on both, and there you go. That's the game.
Shout out Brandon Saad, baby.
Shout out Saad. Shout out Petro. Both assisted on the first hurdle goal. It was nice, too. And that Vegas defense, dude, they just get in the way. They're huge. They lay the body. They're good with their sticks. 25 block shots in this game. That's amazing. Like, Hill didn't even have to worry.
No.
And honestly, like, I don't think he's that good.
No, I was going to say, first off, Hill, I think, is overrated.
Very. Like, Henrik Lundqvist was had him as his second best goalie in the playoffs. Yeah, I was
very confused by Henrik's judgment there.
I'd rather have Logan Thompson for sure right now.
I'd rather have Markstrom.
Yeah.
Stolarz.
Oh, for sure Stolarz.
Honestly, I would take Binnington.
Yeah, that one, it's a little closer because I feel like they're kind of the same. Binnington just has the mentality for sure.
Yeah.
Vegas won up in the first game. Bolding Kaprizov. I want to take a little break before we go to game two. These guys, they come back and they're literally the two players, right? They look so dynamic. Kaprizov, I have this thought in my mind that if he never got hurt, he would have won the MVP this year.
Yep.
He's in every play. Like, it's disgusting. He looks like Kucherov, maybe even better right now. So good on him. And then we go to game two. This game,
flip-flop completely.
And you know what happened? Hill actually had to make some saves, and he didn't. He let in four goals on less than 20 shots, and then an empty netter to make it 5-2 to win for the Wild. Four goals on less than 20 shots is not good, and we know that from personal experience.
Yeah.
Again, Boldy and Kaprizov dominated the game. I think they both had 2 or 3 points. Vegas went down like 3-0 in the first.
Yeah,
kind of made it a game 4-2, and then.
Well, the biggest thing you got to look at, the plus minus, and I know, and a lot of people don't like to look at that, but like,
yeah.
Mark Stone, -3. Hurdle, -2. Howden, -2. Eichel, -2. Like, that's not a recipe for success. And then McNabb, -4.
Ooh, that's bad for McNabb.
Yeah. So you're looking at McNabb, who, I mean, he only played 16 minutes and was -4.
Ooh.
Shout out Petrangelo, who played 22 minutes and was a +1 with an assist. Also, Shane Theodore was a -4 as well.
Wow. So, yeah, they just got outworked, outplayed. Defense did.
Barbie was non-existent in this game, I felt like. He had a couple of hits, but he only played like 14 minutes.
Yeah, so Bissonnette always praises him, calls him the cigarette machine. Just he goes out and barrels people and scores goals. But yeah, this game non-existent. I think Minnesota figured it out defensively.
Yeah,
I think they shut down the star players and they let their star players cook, and they did. And Hill looked like Swiss cheese, man. He looked like the Hill I know. They did have a little bit of fight, though. Listen to this. Vegas had 22 shots in the last two, and Minnesota only had 7. So they came back and, like, tied in shots, basically. But Gustafsson was just a wall. So,
yeah.
Which, good stuff from the Wild.
Which, let's crazy, go. The Wild, if you look at their time on ice, like, they rolled, like, 3 defensemen.
Yeah, was it, like Spurgeon?
Spurgeon had 21 minutes. Brodin had 25.
Brodin.
He's Faber the guy. Had 26.
I think he's overrated.
Brock Faber's pretty freaking good, man.
I think he's a little overrated.
And Jake Middleton had 20 minutes.
Good for Middleton. Yeah, that's a good decor.
Yeah, Zeev had a rough game.
Yeah.
Zeev was a -2 and only played 12 minutes. And Zach Bogosian was a -2 and only played 12.
Well, he is playing with Zach Bogosian, so Atlanta Thrashers legend.
But I mean, it was a decent game. Minnesota came to win the faceoffs, which Ryan Hartman 53%, Rossi 50%, Joel Erzenek 41%, Matt Boldy 50%. Like, they're winning the areas that I don't think people realize that's how you win playoff games.
Yeah.
Is
possession.
In the dot and possession.
Yeah.
And when you have the puck, you have to capitalize.
Yeah.
And that'll be a theme when we get to the Blues, opportunities that you have to capitalize on.
Right. All right. Let's, we'll kind of breeze through the Kings and the Oilers, even though this was a fantastic hockey game. The Kings came out to play this game. They dominated for a while. And then McDavid came, and he saw and he conquered, and he tied this thing up pretty much by himself. He was absolutely flying around. Best player in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, him and McKinnon are close, but McDavid just has that one little edge of, like, skill. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Kings, top guns, contributed huge. All of them scored. Like, the top six, all of them scored.
Quinton came to play in the playoffs, man.
Quinton, my X factor, baby. He's a big boy. He's that power forward that the Blues could use.
Yeah, just that's the Holloway that you don't have right now.
Yeah, just
the teams with the power forwards are dominating in their series.
Of course. Yeah, Byfield came to play. Kings 2-for-5 on the power play. Edmonton 0-for-2. So good job by the Kings kill. Kemper looked good at first and then not so good. I mean, both goalies looked okay, not great. I mean, Skinner's awful. Anyways, it went to this was regulation.
This was regulation.
The last minute of the game, Kings came down and scored 1-6-5, I believe. And yeah, McDavid had 4 points. It doesn't matter when you can't make a save or defend. Yeah. Which is the Oilers' weakness for I don't know how long now. The Kings look good. They're kind of my dark horse pick to make it far.
Yeah.
Love the way they play, and they don't lose at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Game two, I think, is like late tonight.
Yeah, it's 9 okay. p.m. tonight.
So
yeah.
Wednesday, late tonight. So you guys will get that score soon on your own. All right. Stars, Avalanche, Battle of the Blues Rivals.
I think it's one of the best series in the playoffs right now.
It's going seven.
Yeah, I hope it goes seven because it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it has to. And
I think that you had Colorado winning this, didn't you?
I had Colorado in seven. I think you had Stars in seven.
I had Stars in seven.
Yeah, so this is going to be a crazy good series. It already is. First game, Avalanche win. Colorado, too fast, too deep, took control of the game. Dallas didn't look too hot.
Which was weird. It was a weird game for Dallas. Like,
yeah, they didn't look ready.
No,
but that's kind of just how Colorado does it, though. They come out so hot and so fast and so heavy, and you're like, oh shoot.
Yeah. Also, like, not a great game for Mottinger, man. I agree.
Like, not great. It's weird. Swiss cheese.
Yeah, and he's, I think, top five in the NHL for goalies.
Yeah. Oh, easily. I agree.
So it's very interesting to see that aspect. But I mean, I kind of got nervous after that first game because I was like, holy crap. Is Dallas just going to forget how to play hockey?
Yeah. Well, that, you know what? That was like the eighth straight game one loss that they've had in the playoffs. And I want to shine a little light on Blackwood before we move on. Great. Lights out for Colorado.
Yeah.
We talked a little junk on him, but he's proven to be pretty good so far for them in the playoffs. Yeah. But yeah, I don't even think Dallas looked that bad. Just Colorado looked better.
Yeah.
MacKinnon and Makar.
I was going to say, MacKinnon will put the team on his back and everyone will kind of follow suit.
Yeah, he's in another world right now.
You have the best puck-winning defenseman in the playoffs, and it's just not fair.
Yeah, he's a fourth forward out there, and he plays defense. Game two, though, different game. Just completely, almost like a flip-flop type of thing. So, like I mentioned, Dallas had lost like eight straight game ones. Well, in game twos, they were 5-2. So they're kind of just like that type of team where they bounce back, and they did. So now they're 6-2 after losing the first game in a playoff round, which is nuts. I think they're probably the best bounce back team in modern playoffs. So good for them. You know what? The Avalanche still looked good again. Like, in my opinion, they just didn't look as good, and Dallas looked better.
Lots of shots, though. 39 for Dallas, 37 for Colorado.
goalies.
Goalies are getting worked. Also, I get the series is tied. I think Haskinen's going to be back here.
Yeah, he's still non-contact.
Yeah, I just, if things get tight.
You kind of have to play him.
You got
to
play him.
We'll see. Maybe it's kind of like a minimal minutes thing, but he's like a top five defenseman in the league. Like, missing him is insane, and you're still tied in the series. He comes back.
He's underrated on his puck mobility skills, too.
You don't really realize it. He's a Swede. No, he's a Finn.
He's a Finn.
Yeah, you know, those guys are good at hockey, huh?
Dallas is Team Finland.
True.
They got so many Finnish players. It's insane.
Yeah. You know, the Colorado bottom six, they contributed two goals. That's huge. It was an even game. It went to OT. Stars had the depth scoring as well. Who won this in overtime for them?
I have it pulled up here. Hold on. Let's see.
Just a battle of star power in this game, and it went to OT. And the goal, and Ottinger stood tall.
Colin Blackwell.
And Blackwell put one in,
assisted by Steele and CC. Man,
wow, depth.
Yeah,
let's go. Depth. They're out there in the overtime. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I mean, good Lord.
I love it. All right. So that series tied 1-1 going into game three, which I think is tonight or tomorrow.
Game three is tonight.
They're going to be three games in and Flores are going to play their second game tomorrow. Like,
yeah, this schedule has been weird.
Especially when we play Thursday at 8:30 Central tomorrow. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, but let's be honest. It's St. Louis and Winnipeg. We're not the media market. It's
the best team in the league.
I know.
Versus the hottest team.
It's Winnipeg, Canada, though. I mean, they got Population 70,000. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Winnipeg. You're probably
don't
a lovely
just to Winnipeg.
You're probably a lovely place. I don't want to get canceled on here because I attacked the
you won't
people
get canceled
of Winnipeg.
You won't get canceled for attacking. They don't listen to this podcast. We're gonna make you though. Anyways. All right, let's get into the Blues and the Jets. Game one, great game. Like up until the third period.
Score does not resemble, I think, how close that game was until the third.
I agree. We were throwing the body around. Shen broke the Blues record for hits in a playoff period with eight.
Eight. Yep.
He's running around like a
madman.
He's hitting
his brother. He's hitting everyone around.
Awesome. Couple other stats here. Blues 57.4 on the faceoff dot. So that's huge. Love that. I think Robert Thomas was like 75% in this game, which is awesome. And 2 for 3 on the power play. Huge. Keep doing that.
Amazing.
You gotta score on your power play. You have to. It's huge in these games. Now let's get into the Jets. They looked great too. I mean, they were throwing bodies.
Yeah, they're big. They're huge. And
their
defense
is so
strong. Logan
Stanley
is about 6'7".
Yeah.
I think he's – and it's just
– He's a big boy.
He's kind of a dirty guy, in my opinion. But
I just think he's so big that it looks dirty, you know?
Yeah, well, when you're 6'7", you're hitting the average height person in the head every single time. And it's
just
where
exactly.
You're hitting.
Yeah, and then people get confused on Twitter. That was a headshot. Eh, I think just a foot taller. Anyways, Shifley and Kyle Connor just dominated us. They every time they're on the ice, it's like, oh, it's McDavid and Draisaitl. It's you know, so and so and so and so, so on and so forth. They're honestly, if you contain them, you win this hockey.
I was gonna say
like,
that you have to just shut down. And I honestly, I'm willing to take the risk of. I'll just put everything on shutting down Kyle Connor and make Shifley do it.
I agree, because I think Binnington can stop Shifley because both of his goals in this series have been junk.
Yeah.
Literal junk, like not even close to Binnington's
Kyle Connor
fault.
Is, you know where he's going to shoot and you know the puck's coming, you still can't stop it. It's like OV1 timers. It's stupid.
Yeah. Well,
like
you
everyone
know
knows they're happening, but you just, all right, I'll pick it out of the net.
Yeah. So, I mean, we went into the third with the lead. We didn't keep our foot on the gas, as many of you know. We only had 17 shots on Hellebuck in this game. And we scored, what, 3 times?
Yeah.
He looked bad. He was nervous.
It's the top corners, man. But even in the next, going to the next game, he can't stop the pucks in the corners.
No, he can't. And it's unfortunate we weren't peppering him more because we should have won this game like 6-3.
Well, okay, and that there. Here's the frustrating part. And a guy I'm going to call out is Jordan Kyrou. I know you had a goal in the first game, but you had a breakaway twice, and you didn't put it in that. So it's your fault, we lost this game.
Those were the two big saves
that
Hellebuck made, and unfortunately Kyrou couldn't score on them. And
I mean, were they big saves when you just put the puck on the ground and you don't even get it off the ice?
Well, I mean, you know, he was pressured. It is what it is. I wouldn't say that's the reason we lost the hockey.
I think the
reason we lost the hockey game is because we're slow. Like,
yeah,
we're not moving our feet in the third period. Our defense is acting slow. Pareko's playing hurt.
Pareko's hurt. I think Thomas is hurt. I think.
Oh yeah,
we got limping in right now. But like,
it's
also,
okay.
Like the veteran D didn't look great.
I mean, I want to shout out Justin Falk. A little bit. I know people think he's been looking bad and making dumb plays. Honestly, when I watch, I haven't seen a single bad one until like late game two.
Yeah, it was game
where
two.
Where he turned one over and Binnington bailed him out. And that was it. And after that, he didn't make any dumb plays.
Yeah.
I think the hate on Falk is ridiculous right now. We used to because it was warranted. But now he's stepped up. And especially with Pareko playing hurt, he has to. The person that I wish was playing better was like, I don't know. Well, Bush has a couple points, but I don't think he's active enough.
No, he's got to finish the opportunities. There's been so many opportunities in every single one of these games that they just can't finish, or they're not there for the rebound. Or we whiff.
It all goes back to being slow, to not getting to your spot fast enough. If you're there before, you know, a half second earlier, you score a goal, right?
Yeah.
Another thing is the WTF line. Haven't noticed them once. Not going to lie.
But they've been laying body. So much of the game.
Monty needs to adjust that. He knows that Thomas is hurt. And he knows that the Kyrou line isn't going to contribute without Holloway on it. So I think he just does this to bring an identity and try and get a forecheck, and then he'll throw them out when we have possession. But those guys aren't skilled enough to keep the possession. So maybe you double shift Thomas. Maybe you double shift Shen, Sonny, someone to be able to win a battle in the corners. Yeah. But right now, it's speed, in my opinion.
I also thought Joseph looked awful in that first game.
Yeah, and he got taken out in this second game, which we can segue to if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. I called this before the game a little bit. I was really thinking they were going to roll seven because they want Tucker in. I think it's a safety net for Pareko, who's probably still hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can roll seven going into game three.
No.
And
you can't, especially the way Tucker looked. He was nervous. It's his first playoff game. So many of the kids on our team are playing their first playoff series. Like,
do you try Texier?
I don't know. Monty had high praise for him today.
So
actually, he was like, he looks like a dynamic player. He can score if we put him in. I'm like, whoa. Since when is he like Tex? He hasn't played a game since March 27th, bro.
So, and this is my struggle is, I think you got to blow up the three lines. And the one guy that cannot play with Booch and Thomas is Kyrou. I'm sorry.
I don't know about that. I feel like they actually play well together.
You know who I really think they just need to do it is put Bolduc. I know he's taking stupid penalties, but he lays a physical body on.
I like Zach Bolduc a lot. I think he had a heck of a season. I just think he's not in it right now. I don't know what it is. I mean, he made a pretty good play to give Sonny his goal. In whatever game that was. Other than that, not existent. Maybe putting him up there would be good. I would rather have him out there with Kyrou and Shen, though. I think he's as close as to Holloway as we can get.
Yeah.
And then you just throw Jimmy, Thomas, Boosh, Bolduc, Shen, Kyrou, and then you just throw bottom six together with whatever you want. You can go Tex, Sonny, Neighbors. It's all right with me. I don't care.
You got a scorer. You got a guy that's a hounder. Yeah.
The last two goals before he got hurt or sick again were right in front of the net. Two goals in two games.
So hear me out. They won't do this.
Here come the theories, everybody.
Yeah, the theories. Nathan Walker, or honestly, Torpo. I would move Torpo up to play with Kyrou and Shen.
God, I don't know about that one.
Dude, so looking at these games, the dump and chase, who's the one guy that can get down into the end and get the puck in corners?
He's the only one who does it because he's dumping it correctly.
Yeah,
no one else is dumping it to a spot that they can win a 50-50. It's always a 70-30 win to either Hellebuck or the defenseman.
And that's what I'm saying.
Half speed, half dumb dump.
Yes, but what I'm saying is you just have to get the puck in there. Once you get the puck in the corner, Shen will go to work.
I agree, as long as it's dumped correctly.
But the issue is Kyrou can't score on a dump and chase line. And they don't have anyone that they can score off the rush, and they tried it with Snuggie because Kyrou has to be an off-the-rush player.
I can slightly agree with that.
So I mean, we're grasping at everything right now because I think we're in a slight panic mode because, like, not having Holloway right now, you're kind of screwed.
It just makes the lines that much worse because we're just not as deep. And that is what it is, you know?
When you don't have a superstar, you have to be able to roll four lines deep.
Yeah. And we talked about this. We have some B superstars.
Yeah.
but we don't have six of them. We have two or three, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's not like 2019 where we had like literally 10 B or C superstars and just young guns who can't wait to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is three or four B superstars and then some vets and a crazy goalie with a brain that is twisted. So,
which and he's done everything way. To keep in you in these games, but
100%
the issue, and I guess that first goal, the Scheifele goal, Jimmy, I mean, props to coming back hard. You just can't run into your goalie.
Yeah.
But
then he bounced back and got it back himself and tied it up.
Yeah.
And, so it's and not even, I don't even care. You know,
BK and Ferrario talked about it today on the radio that you can get back in this game. And I think they have the mindset that it's home ice and we don't lose on home ice, which I think is huge. If we can pull two out, this is going to be huge. But it's going to take – Bennington has to steal you a game.
Yeah, this is like, the point where he finally steals one.
He has like, to steal one.
He's and then, he's attempted to but hasn't had the help. Now it's like you have to go in God mode, brother, and shut somebody out.
And then the other game, you have to have a specialty team's dream game where you just score every power play goal.
That could have been game one.
It should have been game one.
Two for three.
What I do say is Jimmy may have opened something up in game two. He did kind of go non-existent in the rest of the game after he scored. But what we have to do is find a way to feed the puck. They're so aggressive on the penalty kill. That's the other thing, is that I think the reason we're good, we have shooters now, that they're so aggressive, you can move the puck laterally. And that one timer, that wrist shot's going to be open every single time. And you go high on Hellebuck, you're scoring every time.
I agree.
But
I agree.
I think the injury bug is what we're going to find out is going to be the biggest issue here.
Yeah.
And I realistically don't know if you somehow survive this first round. I don't even think Holloway's back next round.
Yeah, I think that might be like a game three or four or five if he's maybe. Back.
He may be done for the year. And they're just not saying it.
That's what I'd almost rather I mentioned that to you the other day. I was like, I think he's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, also on a side note, shout out Springfield Thunderbirds, man, who came to play tonight. Zach Dean, coming off the injury, is like, I'm going to put this team on my back with backhand goals. And him and Dvorsky are on a whole other level right now. But, good Lord. Yeah, so I'm interested to see how this is going to go. I don't know. It sucks because I wanted to be playing so much better. I still believe, realistically, if we would have matched up against Vegas, we would be probably 1-1 with them right now.
Yeah.
Pretty much anyone else I feel like we could have been 1-1 with, except Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we get swept by Colorado. I think we win.
Somehow play amazing against Colorado.
Not the way we're playing right now, but I don't know. Bennington does go in God mode against them specifically, though. Like, they hate playing against him.
Yeah. I just, well, you can't go down three. Or
no, over. If you're down if three, it goes down it's three, four or five.
Or four. We're down in four.
You think we lose game four on home ice? I think we win and then lose in Winnipeg. Anyways. You got to win the next two at home. Why not? You're on a crazy home win streak. We just went on a 12 gamer. Let's go on a 16 gamer and just win the whole thing. Sweep everybody. let's preview game three, down 2-0. We mentioned some good points. Bennington needs to be a god. And he has been almost that. He needs to solidify himself as a god. Parayko, questionable play right now. He looks slow. He doesn't look as engaged. He's not covering his man as actively as he was. That's scary. We'll see what Monty does with the lineup. He might have to play Falk and Broberg like a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
We mentioned it with Dump and Chase. I don't mind the shuffling of getting Torpo up there with chances and then just crashing the net on every play.
Like, yeah, the other thing.
Winning a Dump and Chase, go to the front of the net. Tip in a Kyrou shot, you know?
The other thing, I wonder if they probably won't do this, but like throw Letty back with Fowler to at least eat some minutes. and let Parayko play with Suter.
Parayko Suter.
I mean,
right now that feels like a liability, but I think it's better than Tucker.
Yeah, and I mean, I still love Tucker. I think Tucker.
Oh, me too.
Tucker's going to be very serviceable for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for those who were setting, like, let's play Kessel.
No, stop.
Stop. That's
he should be playing with the Thunderbirds right now.
Yeah, the
dominating. Like
I realistically, he may be gone in the offseason because he gets picked up off waivers. Because he's not on the if he's on this team next year, we did not get better.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a different right-hand defenseman. And then we'll get into that probably in the offseason. But right now it's playoff hockey. And I mean, we're happy to be in here, man. We're playing with house money. We shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
Crazy run. It feels great. I know you people are, you know, they're over exaggerating how they feel, and it makes sense because this is do or die, man, and we want to win the whole thing, right? But sometimes you just got to understand, right? You got to take a step back and be like, this might be the Jets year. You know, it might be Colorado again. It might be so and so. It might be Florida again.
All I'm going to say is if we had two guys that I talked about at the trade deadline, I think we're doing a little bit better, and that's Jared McCann and Alexiak.
I do agree. I just think, unfortunately, you would have lost a key player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it might not have been worth it, especially probably being a first round or second round exit. So
it's true.
But I mean, maybe next year. I mean, I'd love McCann.
I'm very interested to see how the off season and the draft day is going to go, because I truly don't see us drafting our first round pick.
No, I think you have to trade it, especially when Army knows that this team can play well together at some points.
The only thing you could see them doing is if he uses it in a offer sheet.
There you go.
But that being said, we will be in attendance for game 3 starting at 8:30 p.m. We are planning on being there around 6:15. So we will bring you game day coverage and try to keep you up to date.
Yeah, if you're there, say hi.
Yeah,
we'll be walking around before the game. We'll be in the shop. We'll be grabbing beers, whatever.
Yeah.
So, drink responsibly. Yeah, let's go win a couple. You know, let's go have some fun. Have it be a close, fun game.
I just want to see a win. I think this team needs it. The city needs it.
Yeah.
This ownership group needs it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go Blues, and let's bring home a winner tomorrow night, boys.
Let's go.
Hello, listeners. Josh here to tell you about the story of Across the Board and how it began. Husband and wife duo Ryan and Kim McDaniel dreamt of beginning their own business together while enjoying drinks on their patio. Thanks to an after-dinner party with family, their dreams began to take shape, and Across the Board, handcrafted wooden board games began. With Ryan's construction background and Kim's marketing and business experience, they began to design board games for family and friends. Several years later, they started a garage hobby, which grew into a warehouse operation, which is still steadily growing today. Sadly, Ryan went through a battle with colon cancer and peacefully passed in 2015. Kim uses his strength, hope, and true love to inspire and drive the force behind Across the Board. It is truly a pleasure to be sponsored by a great business and an even better family. If you'd like to learn more about Across the Board, please check out our bio with their links. If you're going to search them, go to www.shopatbgame.com or visit their locations in Crestwood and West County Mall in De Pere. For any other questions, don't hesitate to give them a call at any of their offices. It's a family business that we love and we love to support. And like always, the 5-Minute Major Podcast is here to support STL local businesses, just like they're helping us.